one warning and it's to the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Go, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. What a week. We've had a great week. Last night's show was a blast with a federal agent in studio for an hour. And I got a lot of response from people around the country thanking us for encouraging them by showing that there are men in our government who are godly and look to the Bible for the solutions to our problems. So thank you out there for the encouragement. Now tonight, we've had great shows this week, and it's Friday night. Normally Doug McBurney's here, but he's in Arizona on business with his wife and his daughter. And I'm here alone to hold down the fort. And to make matters worse, we have a technical problem so that the audio quality on radio will not be the best. But if you guys could bear with us for tonight, and by Monday, we should have things working just fine. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, this morning, I was in a Starbucks. Now, Starbucks, I work at home most of the time. And I've got an office in the basement. Actually, we have, let's see, how many offices do we have in our home? One, two, three, four. Four, wait. One, two, three, four, five. Five offices in our home. My 16-year-old son, he has his business. My wife, she has her business. Actually, she does the books for Bob Enyart Live and processes the invoices. And I do the church, and I do the radio show, and I write, and I've got a business on the side. So we're pretty busy and a pretty business-oriented family. And so now and then, maybe a couple times a week, I'll go to a Starbucks or a diner, order a cup of coffee, bring my computer, my notebook, and that's like bringing my office with me, and get more done in 2 or 3 hours over a cup of coffee than I can with all the many interruptions at home from the office and the kids. So I'm at Starbucks this morning. A family from Tulsa is in Denver right now, and they're fans of the show, Dr. David Dick and his wife Wendy. And he, in his office in Denver, he has a practice with maybe 2 or 3 doctors and therapists out of one office. And if he has a patient, if his wife, who's the receptionist, is talking to someone, and in any way, the topic comes around to God or morality or government or anything relevant, the death penalty, they'll say, hey, we've got some tapes you could listen to. They have a Bob Enyart Live. They have a tape lending library in the doctor's office. These are really neat people. Well, they came to Denver for a convention this week. And this morning, 6:45, I headed out to meet with them for breakfast. We had a great time. And after that, I went to Starbucks to work, to get some work done. And there I heard a girl, maybe a 4-year-old girl, I'd say. And she said to her dad, she was there with her little sister and her mom and her dad at the Starbucks. And she said to her dad in a loud enough voice that at least there are a lot of tables at the Starbucks, at least 10 tables around could hear her. She said, I hate you. Now, what do you think the parents did in response to this? What's your guess? Well, I want to tell you what happened with my friends at breakfast at 6:45, 7 o'clock this morning. We were at an IHOP, and they have a 2-year-old girl, and she made an uncalled-for remark. It was a bit rude, just a bad attitude, but it was toward no one in particular, about her food. So her mommy picked her up and whisked her into the restroom to meet Mr. Paddle. And she came back just a minute and a half later, and she was cheerful and polite. It was so refreshing to see. But what do you think the apparently liberal family did? What do you think they did? The 4-year-old girl says, "I hate you," to her father. And they were there for at least another 10 minutes. And what they did was nothing. They did absolutely nothing. The table next to me, two women, the one woman looked at me and I said, "What a shame, huh?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "It did not used to be that way. It did not used to be that. It's not that kids were perfect, but it wasn't the norm that you go out in public and kids are just miserable and rude and unhappy. You know, liberals have kids who are more unhappy and less secure, and they have less respect, more uncertainty in their lives, more fear, and starting from the youngest of kids. What a shame. What a mess. What a culture we live in. Hey, in a little bit, I want to talk to you about mayonnaise. Hellman's Mayonnaise has a vulgar TV commercial running, and I'm a member of that website, 1milliondads.com. We link to that from our site, kgov.com. And if you're not a member of 1 Million Dads, it's one of the more worthwhile things to do on the web. So they keep you informed, and then you send an email, and they get tens of thousands. No, hundreds of thousands of emails from concerned families. And you could change the email if you want, or use the standard one, or you could change the subject. So they've got this vulgar ad with these male strippers running to sell their mayonnaise. So the subject line I put was, "Bring out the hell, man." That's the subject line, and then in a little bit I'll tell you about the email I sent to them. But, and then there's a similar story, a related story, in Sacramento, California, where a Christian school told a single mom that her daughter could not continue in the school, her 5-year-old daughter in, kindergarten or pre-K, because the school found out that the mother is a stripper. And how appropriate for the school to tell the mother, you know, the message is you are destroying your daughter. And the mother was interviewed on network news. And she said, "Why should my child pay the consequences for my actions?" You idiot. You see what we're up against when we're battling liberals?
We all know Bob.
Hey, stop the tape. Stop the tape. This is a live commercial break here, Friday night. And Doug McBurney's not here. I'm holding down the fort. And I've got an instant message from somebody listening in Indiana who said the audio quality is not that bad. And we do have a serious technical problem here. But our engineer and the engineer at IRN Information Radio Network, they were on top of it. And it's as good as we can get it for this evening. So, at any rate, after the show, it's Friday night. Normally, I try to stay in the studio for 10 minutes, take two orders. I want to thank you guys for last night. Our goal is to get two orders to come in after the show, and preferably orders where people are signing up for our monthly Bible study tapes, because that is the best way that we can help you and that you can help us in this radio show continue to grow and reach more and more people. So you sign up for our monthly Bible study tapes. It's $24.95 a month. Now, we charge shipping and handling, but not for our monthly materials, not for those. You give us a credit card number, expiration date, your address, and then every month we mail you a set of Bible study tapes, about 4 hours, sometimes 6 hours worth of Bible study material that I do at Denver Bible Church on Sunday nights. Now, for those tuning in Denver, maybe you missed the beginning of the show, but I'm Bob Enyart, and I pastor Denver Bible Church. And if you like the ideas you hear on this show, well, where do we get them from? We get them from the Bible for the most part. So give us a call. Hey, I'd like to tell you guys what I was thinking about this morning as I heard that little girl tell her dad, "I hate you." What a tragedy. And just you could see the unhappiness. And liberals, you know, they have their ideas that spanking is bad. And so kids, if the norm of how kids behave and their attitude toward themselves and their family and authority, if the norm existed 40 years ago, 50 years ago, before Dr. Spock and the jihad against spanking, how have we done, if we said that was the norm, how are kids today? Well, they're miserable. They're unhappy. It's pathetic how liberal ideas have destroyed a couple generations of kids now and really ruined their childhood in so many ways. So many kids are just flat out unhappy. And, you know, what is suicide, the number three cause of death among young people in America? And the young people that have abortions, they're sexually immoral, they're alcoholics, they get into drugs, they're thieves, they have bulimia. It's just so discouraging. And you think to see how kids have been destroyed, you think the liberals would rethink and say, you know, maybe our ideas are off base, but I don't believe that if it became obvious that every last kid in America was being destroyed, I don't think the liberal ideologues, their thinkers, their writers, their talking heads, I don't think they would care enough to change their opinion. I just don't think they'd care. So I'm looking at these miserable kids, and I compare it, and I'm thinking of our kids and the difference. And not that our kids are perfect. At Denver Bible Church, we don't have perfect families. But overwhelmingly, we have healthy families, happy families, families with kids that are a pleasure to be around. If we get an invite, there's probably, we're a young church and a new church, and we're just growing. We've grown from about 40 people to about 70 people in the last year and a half. And so we're young and growing. It's fun. We were planted by another Bible church across town, by Derby Bible Church and Pastor Bob Hill, and we are Denver Bible Church, Pastor Bob Enyart. But if we're invited to a barbecue, to a dinner at a friend's house, and they've got 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, somebody from our church, we know that those kids will be a pleasure to be around, whatever age, from infants on up, because the Bible gives us the wisdom to know how to raise kids. And when the basics are under control, then there's so much opportunity to do so many even more exciting things. You know, I think about how neat kids are from conception through birth, when they're in the womb, how neat they are and the things they learn in the womb. See, liberals hate them even at that point. Well, if, and you say, what do you mean liberals hate babies in the womb? Well, like you'd say, the Nazis hated the Jews. Even the ones that didn't kill a Jewish child with his own hands, if they supported it, or if they tolerated it, or if they looked the other way, they hated the Jews. You know, apathy is hate. Love is commitment, and apathy is the opposite of love. And so liberals hate kids in the womb because they don't care. They're apathetic or they aggressively support killing them. And so we're not conservative Christians. We love kids even when they're in the womb, even when they're sleeping and dreaming in the womb. And when they're sucking their thumb in the womb, we love them at that point. A lot of dads will talk to the baby in the womb as he's laying in bed with mom, and he puts his hand on mom's abdomen and feels the baby kicking. And he talks to the baby, and the mom talks to the baby or sings to the baby. We used to sing to Zachary, our 4-year-old, every night for months, the last 2 or 3 months. We sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know." I'm not much of a singer, but I could belt that out. And after he was born, I think he was 2 days old, Cheryl came to the office, Bob and Yurt Live, when we were downtown Denver, right by Mile High Stadium, right in between Mile High and Coors Field, right across from where the Avalanche, the Pepsi Center is. And by the way, the Avs are still in the playoffs, and the San Jose Sharks are out, second round now. And Cheryl brought Zachary's 2 days old, and we had a friend from Germany in the studio, in the office, and he was volunteering, helping out. And in his sort of German accent, he started to sing, "Jesus Loves Me," and Zachary just came to life. And he wasn't inclined to come to life when people talked to him. He was more standoffish. And Alfred said to me, "Hey, he knows this song." And Cheryl and I looked at each other. We loved it because we had sung that song to him. And Alfred didn't know that. He wasn't around when I was singing to my wife's belly. It was neat. Well, kids are so neat. From conception through gestation to birth and onward. But liberals, they can't appreciate the early precious times. When Zachary was born, within a day, I told Cheryl that he was an introvert. And Michael, our 4-year-old, Zachary's our 4-year-old, Michael, our 2-year-old, when he was about 5 minutes old, I said, "Honey, he's an extrovert." And boy, have those two proved out those observations. Now, as Zachary, our little introvert, grew older by weeks and months, I found a way to soothe him, knowing that he was an introvert. Now, some people out there, they don't use those terms all that much, introvert and extrovert. But we do, because God made us to be different. And some of us he made that we get energized by interacting with other people. Those are the extroverts. And introverts expend energy to interact with other people. And in that way, you have a balance. If everyone was an extreme extrovert, what in the world? Who would listen to who? It would be insane. And opposites attract. That's the way God made us, like he made people, opposites attract. And so later in the show, I'm going to tell you about Zachary and Michael and how they have really lived out the way God made them, Zachary being a little introvert and Michael the extrovert, and how fun it is to know these things and to observe them. Okay, now we're going to go to Jeremy in Denver. Jeremy, speak your mind.
Bob, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir.
Good. I've got a question for you. I need some guidance. My wife and I, Wendy, have just completed an apologetics class, and as part of our final exam, we have been, the final project, we have to engage in some type of a conversation or debate, dialogue with obviously someone who's not a Christian, and I have opted to, I've set an interview with a, he's a pastor, minister, teacher, whatever you want to call him, of a Course in Miracles.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you're all that familiar with what they teach, but they're...
No, A Course in Miracles. I haven't heard of that.
Okay, well, it's more or less what my understanding is, you know, it's the way out there, New Age thought that basically they have reduced all reality to just basically a mere illusion of ours.
All right, so so there's no reality, it's just our...
Absolutely not, no reality whatsoever.
It's just our subjective perspective.
Correct.
And it's not real.
Nope. And so my understanding, well, that's, and again, I don't have a lot of understanding other than that, but...
You're going to go to this guy's office, maybe?
Yes, I am. I'm going to meet him at his facility.
Any chance his wallet will be on his desk when you get there?
I'm not sure.
If it is, I suggest picking it up and putting it in your pocket.
And wait for him to tell me how wrong I am, right?
Well, yeah, it's just an illusion.
Right, right.
All he needs to do is get his act together and realize he has no reason to complain.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just looking for some guidance to see if you had any thought-provoking questions that I may ask this man. Obviously, my point is to reduce his argument to absurdity, and just was going to see if you had any...
Well, I gave you my first reaction.
Sure.
And you might find a way to con him into pulling his wallet out of his pocket.
Okay.
But I would try that.
Okay.
And I would say to him, it's just an illusion. Or I would find some other way to communicate to him that this is just an illusion.
Okay.
For example, before I went in, if I knew which car was his, I might let the air out of his tires.
Okay.
And let him know that. And say, but this is just an illusion, and really, you shouldn't even need to put air back into the tires, let alone be angry at me.
Right.
Because it's all an illusion.
Okay.
I would find ways to mock him.
Okay.
And to, you know, to do it if we weren't so concerned about, well, yeah, I would find nice, harmless ways to mock him.
Okay. That I can do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob.
Hey, this is exciting. Will you promise me that, Jeremy, that you'll call up and let us know how it went?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do you remember the guy's name?
Oh, man. David Morrissey.
David Morrissey.
Yeah, grew up in the Catholic Church, was a Presbyterian minister for years, and now has found his way into this occult. So,
okay. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy.
Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. Neat guy. And now we're going to go to South Bend, Indiana. Joshua, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. I appreciate your show. I think you're doing a good job discerning the ludicrousy of the left-wing agenda.
All right. Thank you, sir.
But... being the pastor, I know that you are. I was just calling to ask you, I suppose, or appeal to maybe to interweave some verse in Scripture.
Yeah, you mean a little more?
Yeah, like, you know, Romans chapter 1, starting around 18 or so, they get into a lot of this, you know, to bring the Word of God into how he foresaw these things and stuff. Because, like I say, you do an excellent job of discerning them. And
yeah, so
it'd be really cool. Okay, let's wrap back around to God here 2,000 years ago, you know, New Testament writer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, Joshua, what you're saying, you're bringing up a sort of a tactical suggestion that it would maybe be more effective if when I made a point, if I quoted the Bible more frequently.
True.
Yeah, and
true,
that,
because God's word is very effective. I mean, it's a lion. All we got to do is let it out of the cage.
Yeah, it
and,
is.
And it would complement, I think, the two of you, you being obviously a committed servant of the Lord, you know, emotionally involved and attached to your...
Well, that's kind of you. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you state something out of the Bible, if you state a principle out of the Bible, mm-hmm. and you're trying to get through to, let's say, you're talking to... blithering idiots.
Liberals, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Whoever, and but blithering idiots. And you're trying to tell them...
Spiritually blind.
And you're trying to tell them, or fools, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to tell them that they need to honor their parents. Does that become more persuasive if you quote the Bible verse after you say it? I'll be back after this. Bob Benyard here with a live commercial break. It's Friday night, so after the show, let's see now. It's Friday night. Friday night. Normally, we stay after the show. Two nights ago, I was here for 40 minutes. And my wife said, "What? Why are you getting home so late from the show?" And my son and I, we took 40 minutes to get out of the studio. And that's encouraging because people calling up and saying, "Bob, I'd like to order, you know, such and such." And we talk through what is it maybe that they can use in their study of the word, in their situation in life. You know, it's sad. This past week, I had a couple calls from people whose marriages are either in the process of being destroyed or they're divorced and have been for some time. And I had a couple from California say just last night, thank us, my wife Cheryl and I, profusely for putting together this video called The Bible, Divorce, and Remarriage. The Bible, Divorce, and Remarriage. In that video, now that's one of so many different materials that we have to help people understand the Bible better, which means survive better in life and have victory, be a success in life. I don't mean economically. I mean a success, which could include economically. But, you know, Jesus didn't have all that much money. But, hey, Abraham did, right? Paul didn't have all that much money. But hey, Jacob did. He was loaded. How about King David? He was really loaded. So the Bible helps you to succeed. And some people have either for themselves or loved ones or friends who are going through some serious marital problems or divorce or questions about remarriage. And there's so much confusing teaching about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so what we do with that topic, as we try to do with so many, as we pull together all the biblical material on that topic in this video. And it was a show. Somebody called in, asked the question about divorce and remarriage, and we went for it for about an hour. And it's fun. People thank us to no end for that video. So that's one of the things you could benefit from if that information would help. 1-888-8-N-YARD. Now, I'd like to go back to Joshua. Joshua sounds very bright, a neat guy. And I'm sure if he lived in Denver, he and I could hang out, maybe go to an Avalanche hockey game together. But Joshua,
that'd be cool.
So I understood your point, right, that if I quoted the Bible maybe more right. frequently,
right.
It, the show might be more effective. And so I wanted to ask
like
you.
Some people where the Holy Spirit's been working on them and they haven't had an opportunity because they haven't put themselves in a position to hear the Word of God. See if you would be able to plant the seeds that the Holy Spirit's prepared the ground for. You know,
right.
Here's a perfect example. Can I?
Well, wait, before you give me the example, let's talk about that so far. But I just wrote down in my notes here, example, so we won't forget.
Okay.
Perfect example. But let me ask you the question I mentioned before the bottom of the hour news.
Mm-hmm. If, would it be more effective if you...
Yeah, if I'm telling...
I believe so, Bob, for somebody where the Holy Spirit has been preparing them, yeah.
Well, we don't know. It's, you know, there's just a caller. Let's say there's a call. Let's not try to, figure out too many things about this hypothetical person. It's just the caller, and I find out that the caller disrespects his parents.
Okay.
So I say to him...
Teenage caller, maybe?
Yeah. Or whatever, yeah.
Whatever.
And I say, you should honor your father and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, they're jerks. And I said, hey, even if they're not perfect parents, to the extent possible, you should honor them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that get more powerful if I say to him, Matthew chapter 15, verse 2, does that get more powerful? Do you think I'll have more success in reaching him if I quote the verse reference as if I just tell that to him?
No, well, not if you do it too soon, perhaps. I think, yeah, show him the interest and gain his interest in the conversation. But like you say, maybe inquire why he would think that. You
know? Yeah, yeah. See, I think there are times when it's especially poignant and relevant to point out that this is what the Bible says. But if you, the Bible is filled with sermons and messages and books that are written to other people. Mm-hmm. And when we're hearing a sermon, occasionally it says, as Isaiah spoke, but usually it doesn't say that. Like where the Bible
right.
says,
well,
in Exodus 20, when it says, honor your mother and your father, it doesn't say, as the scriptures say. It's a command. It's
right.
truth.
This is the first commandment with promise.
Yeah, and so I think that if we, I think there could be a drawback, and that's why we have very carefully over 10 years decided the style we would use. Because you listen to Christian radio or watch Christian TV,
right.
and they quote a Bible verse at the end of every sentence often.
Bob, I have to break in real quick. I'm very selective, though. I mean,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of circus acts.
Oh, yeah. No, and I didn't mean you.
Embarrassing.
I didn't mean you. I mean, if someone listens to Christian radio,
right.
they might find that there are a lot of shows that will, you know, quote a Bible verse with every single point made. And for the most part, only Christians watch Christian TV or listen to Christian radio.
True.
For the most part. For the most part, if you get Nielsen ratings for TV or Arbitron ratings for radio, they get no ratings.
Right.
Zero. It's an asterisk, which means too small to rate.
Yeah.
So what we try to do when we were on TV for some years in South Bend, where you're from, we would get Nielsen ratings and sometimes compete with NBC and ABC.
On locally here.
Yeah, we'd be up against
right.
Conan O'Brien. You know, that's back when we were on in about 80 cities.
You know, it's sad it's not like that more in more places.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, right. But so what we would do is we would debate the issues. We would talk about why abortion is murder. Or why sexual immorality will destroy a woman before she even has a chance
right.
to have her life, experience life. It's over for her.
Since you brought up abortion, let me throw my example out real quick.
All right.
Okay. You do a real good job, you know, about disclosing or bringing to the surface how the liberals will promote abortion. They'll fight to the death for it. But yet they raise bloody, quote-unquote, hell when you want to put to death a murderer.
Right.
You know? And then that would be a really cool time, maybe, Bob, to dig into a little scripture and see what God has to say about how Satan is the author of confusion. And this isn't this confusion, this makes no sense.
Okay, so
we slaughter the innocent and we fight,
right?
To the death to preserve the life of the unworthy or of a murderer or someone who would kill us the next day for
right.
our money. Or
Joshua,
when
did you first become aware of this show? Of Bob and
I was looking to hear Adrian Rogers, I think.
How long ago?
Not long.
All
recently.
Right.
Yeah,
we've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah,
and so,
see, I had no idea.
So we've pointed out to, you know, people will call in and take those exact positions. They believe in protecting the guilty and slaughtering the innocent.
Right.
And
we'll, God has some things to say specifically about that. You see what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be cool? Now, there... I think you would gain the attention of even a liberal.
If you said what?
How could they deny it?
Well,
that deep in self-denial?
Well, let me tell you what I normally say to them is, look at your position. You're defending slaughtering an innocent baby and protecting a mass murderer rapist.
Right.
You want to kill the baby and protect the rapist to live.
Right.
Do you see
right.
that? And they say we're contradictory because we're pro-life and for the death penalty.
Right.
We say, yeah, we protect the innocent and punish the guilty. You kill the innocent and you protect the guilty. So in my worldview, in my perspective, and in the people I've been able to lead to the Lord in the last 25 years, that's powerful. And I could quote a Bible verse at that time, but so many unbelievers just zone out immediately. when you quote a Bible verse. So, but that
well,
doesn't
maybe not tell them it's a verse then.
Well, right, but that's what you do. You know, the Bible tells us that people will promote wickedness and condemn righteousness. They'll call evil good and good evil.
And they glorify in those that do likewise.
And yeah, and so if you say the
that those who try to speak truth.
So if the scriptures become a part of you and right. and you say it, it comes out in your ideas. You're confident in a debate because you know the truth. My mother loves to say that lately. She loves to say, it feels great to be confident to know the truth because people speak and you could
right.
tell them.
The truth will set you free.
Yeah, there you go. John 14:6. All right.
Well, Bob, it's been good speaking with you tonight.
Hey, thank you very much, Joshua.
Keep up the good work.
God bless you. I appreciate your call. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. The last thing I want to do is suggest to somebody that it's a bad approach to quote the Bible. Definitely not. But, you know, we can be multifaceted in our ministries and our relationships. And if we give a reference after every other sentence, I think that could come across as trite. Sort of like as, an effort to show off. So I think we could be wise and creative. All right, now I want to get to the Hellmans, but I want to finish telling you about our two little kids and how I knew that Zachary was an introvert the first day he was born and Michael an extrovert within 5 minutes of being born. And because God makes us introverts and extroverts. I'm a strong extrovert. And I was looking for a wife, and I wanted an introverted woman, an introverted Christian woman, because opposites attract. That's how God made us. Like he did electrical charges where opposites attract, because we see in one another that which would help make us complete. As Adam saw in Eve, his perfect companion, his helpmate. So Cheryl and I, we have a friend who's a pastor in New Orleans, big church, Abundant Life, and Jonas and his wife. And Jonas is the most dramatic extrovert that I have ever met. And his wife, who sings like an angel, is the most extraordinary introvert. I mean, they are polar opposites. Jonas makes me look like an introvert. And his wife makes Cheryl look like an extrovert. They are opposites. And they met and love each other and have been married for years. It's so cool. Now, how did I know that Michael was an extrovert at 5 minutes old? Well, let me start with Zachary, the introvert. I noticed on the day that he was born that he tended to avert his eyes from the nurse. From me, even from his mother. If we got too close to him, he might be sort of looking in your direction, and then as you went down to pick him up, he would turn away. And I noticed that it didn't just happen once or twice coincidentally. It was obvious that it was intentional. So I experimented with him. I stood a little farther away. He'd look at me, and then as I got close, he would turn away. Now, you might think, well, that's because you have a face for radio.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Now that's Al, my co-host, computer talking.
Mayonnaise.
That's how to pronounce that word.
Mayonnaise.
Now, somebody called in to say that I pronounced mayonnaise wrong. They said it's mayonnaise. Mayonnaise. And so we have Al, who's really an expert in so many topics. He has a Webster's Collegiate Dictionary on his hard disk, and it'll pronounce words for us. And here we have...
Mayonnaise.
So tell the caller that Webster's disagrees. All right. And the caller's still on the line. And he said, I'm wrong. Okay, I'm wrong and Webster's is wrong. That's fine. All right. So anyway, I want to get to the mayonnaise story, but first I want to finish this about how you could tell these little kids are extroverts and introverts. So then Michael was born. Zachary, it was obvious he was an introvert because, you know, he wanted his space. And Michael was born, and I was curious to see how he responded. And within 5 minutes of being born, wow, quite the opposite. We put him in the incubator to weigh him and measure him, you know, to keep him warm under the light so, you know, he wouldn't get a little chill when he was first born. And sure enough, I was able to look him right in the eye, and he did not turn away even when I got real close to him. And then the same thing with the nurse and with his mom, Cheryl. So I pronounced him a strong extrovert to his mom. And just last night after the show, Cheryl told me that Michael talked nonstop with the wife of my guest. Remember last night in studio we had the federal law enforcement officer, and Michael, the two-year-old, talked nonstop. Meanwhile, Zachary sat listening and amusing himself, but not all that eager to talk to strangers. It's fun. It's fun to be able to understand when the basics in life are happening, when your kids are basically obedient and respectful. Then you could work on and focus on the deeper things, the more exciting things, the finer things. It's just a blast. Our four-year-old, there was another couple at Starbucks. Now, not the one with the four-year-old that said, I hate you, to her dad, but another couple with a one-year-old baby there. And I was talking to them. I told them that Cheryl and I, between us, we have 7 boys, 3 toddlers. And we were talking about our kids. I said, yeah, Zachary, yesterday, he got on Cheryl's computer in her office, and he started up Microsoft Flight Simulator, which he does by himself. He's been doing that for about a year. And he called me and said he wanted the menu up. Because with Flight Simulator, you can hide the menu bar so you get more screen to fly. He wanted the menu up. I said, Zachary, why do you want the menu? And he said, I want to change the view. And I said, oh. So got on the keyboard, got the menu bar up. He took the mouse, clicked on view, went into view options, and change the perspective from inside the cockpit to what is called spot plane so he could see the plane from outside. I didn't tell him not one bit, not one thing. He just, you know, he just blows our minds. It's so exciting. The fun things. After the show, 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock at night in Denver, we go out on our trampoline in the backyard at least two or three nights a week with the little ones. Sometimes the big one, the teenagers are out there, but usually the little ones. And we lay down on the trampoline, maybe with a pillow, maybe a blanket if it's chilly. We look up at the stars, and we talk about the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, the atmosphere, air, oxygen, shooting stars. And these kids, the two-year-old and the four-year-old, what they have learned about science and gravity, it's so exciting. It's so fun. It's such a blessing. And our two-year-old, he'll go out and he'll say, there's Venus. When he says there's Venus, it's Venus. He doesn't mistake it for a star. And they'll point out the Big Dipper, which I guess is not that difficult. But the four-year-old, he has at least some four-year-old capable understanding of the relative position of the planets versus the moon versus the earth and the sun and the stars. And which is bigger and which is hotter and which is further away and which is on fire and which is not. And just fun stuff. Life could be so thrilling the way God made us. But I know, because I've seen it with my own eyes, there are so many families that it's misery. They have a few glimpses of joy with their kids, but for the most part, it's this enduring heartache of how to keep these kids from terrorizing themselves and their siblings and their parents and anybody who dares to set foot in their domain. Hey, let's go to 1milliondads.com now. Hellman's Mayonnaise put out this TV commercial that in order to sell the mayonnaise, in order to sell that stuff, they've got male strippers dancing like that Chippendale routine. And all these women are, you don't see the women, but they're oohing and eyeing. And it's as predictable as can be and as unfunny as can be. I haven't seen it, but I just read it in this email from American Family Association, 1milliondads.com. But the women are oohing and eyeing, but not about the strippers, but about the mayonnaise. And then they show the women, they're at a party, and the guys are in the background, and they're all ignoring them, and they're oohing and eyeing about the mayonnaise. And so the strippers feel like they're not getting the attention they're due, and so they really go out of their way to become more seductive and more disgusting. And the women just go right back to the mayonnaise. And it's just, you know, it's sick. It's disgusting. And so 1milliondads.com, if you join that, you give them your email ID. And then they email you and tell you about stuff like this. And you email the president of the company. In this case, it's Unilever Best Foods. You know, Hellman's, bring out the Hellman's and bring out the best. Because on east of the Mississippi, it's Hellman's. And west of the Mississippi, it's Best Foods. Same thing. Best mayonnaise is Hellman's mayonnaise. And they're trying to combine the two brand names, and I don't know what they're doing. But so anyway. So I email them, and you get this email, and all you have to do is click, and you could send an automatic reply to the president of the company. And if you'd like, you could modify it. So I modified it a little bit. I changed the subject to bring out the hell, man. That's just to sell mayonnaise. That's what they got to do. And I just put a sentence or two in front of the standard reply. And I said that I'm a radio talk show host airing in Denver, Springfield, Massachusetts, Rochester, New York, South Bend, Indiana, on the Information Radio Network. And I am tired of the garbage that you marketers put in front of our kids' eyes. And I said, I'm going to talk about this tonight with my radio audience and on the web at kgov.com. It'll let people know that we're a bit disgusted with you right now. I mean, these corporations have to use sex to sell everything. And so I think when they do that, you know, you try to put reverse pressure. And you say, well, how many more people are going to buy this stuff because of the Chippendale strippers in the vulgar costumes? Versus how many people, families, will just get disgusted and skip the Hellmans for a while. Besides, you know what that stuff is made of? You know, now, I don't have the ingredient list in front of me, but I know what you think of when you see Hellman's mayonnaise. You think of some guy that has big zits, and every morning he gets a jar, and he opens a jar, and he squeezes the zits into the jar, and he does it for months. And it eventually, he's got something that looks just like Hellman's mayonnaise. You see, so you got to offset the influence of the ad a little bit. Just a little bit. So yeah, what's in mayonnaise? I don't know what's in it. And I doubt they have anyone working in their plant that has zits. I totally doubt that. And if they did, if they even allowed that, I doubt that there would be any way for any of his oozing to get in any of the jars. I'm sure that would be totally impossible. So, anyway, now, what Bible verse, Joshua, call me up. What Bible verse do I put with that story? I need a Bible verse. I need a Bible verse. Let's see. Something about outside of the camp. Outside of the camp. Let's see. What is it outside of the camp? Don't. Well, we'll work on that. All right. So, by the way, the EU is planning to tax internet sales. Did we mention this a week ago or so briefly? The EU, the European Union, is angry that people can buy from American internet businesses without paying taxes. And so they're going to tax American businesses selling in Europe. Now, how's that going to help Europe's economy? Think about that. The Europeans, being that they're, well, they tend to be more ignorant than Americans, and we are really ignorant here in this country. But I think Europeans are much more ignorant. Well, they have way less biblical influence than we do in America, so that helps us a little bit. But what that is it's a massive new tax on European consumers. And already, the middle class in Europe live worse than the poor in America. The poor in America have a better standard of living than the middle class in Europe. And do you think that if the European governments tax them even more, that their standard of living is going to go higher? No, of course not. Of course it's not. So if Japan can make products that are so cheap and they're good so that millions of Americans want to buy Japanese products, great. That's what raises our standard of living. Liberals are just they're too stupid. What's the verse for that? This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.